It's the client experience that matters. If you need to spend an extra hour with a client to kind of help them get through their QuickBooks or just help them understand what this shoebox of information is, it's more than worth it. It's not just going to help the tax preparation, it's just going to help the client understand what is going on in the in this world of the unknown for them.
Are you ready to ignite your business and achieve your full potential? Welcome to Building Success Stories, the podcast that empowers entrepreneurs and business leaders. I'm Ann Donnelly, and I've spent over four decades in the business world. I've witnessed firsthand the power of perseverance, innovation, and strategic thinking. On this podcast, we'll explore the stories of successful entrepreneurs and business leaders, and we'll delve into the practical strategies and mindset shifts that can propel your business to new heights. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and equipped with the tools you need to build a thriving business. I'm here today with Alex Bodensate of AVB Taxes. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you.
So why don't we start with a little bit about yourself and how you got started in accountancy?
Yeah, sure. So it started back at Nazareth College, which is in Rochester, but now named Nazareth University, and got a job at an accounting firm out of school in Poughkeepsie, and really just enjoyed the tax work more so than the audit work, and just kind of focused on that for a bit. Moved up to Glens Falls, where I live with my wife Raquel and our two kids, Cece and Teddy. And the tax business has been really a side thing for just over 10 years. It's just been friends and family for the longest time. But in September 2025, decided to take it full time. And now just take it on as many clients as possible and helping people with their tax returns.
So that's exciting. So why is it that you find taxes more interesting than audit and other compliance work?
I think it's filling out the forms. It's really just kind of, I can see how it helps people. And just that interaction with my clients is just seems to be the most helpful for them. So when they're worried and stressed about all these receipts and what they can deduct and what they can't, just being able to help them through that maze of all the receipts and paper that they're getting at the end of the year. I think it's great to be able to help people out that way.
And did you primarily like personal side of things, or do you work also for companies?
Right. So it really started with friends and family, and that really just started with personal tax returns. But when my wife and I owned a three-unit rental building in Ballston Spa, then we started associating with other people, other landlords that owned the same type of properties. And by going through that whole situation of buying and renting, and then eventually selling the property, kind of picked up a bunch of rental real estate clients. And that's an area that just a ton of help is needed. Tax returns for those. So it's great that I've had a bunch of those clients. And now we have a bunch of small businesses that it's just like family owned, and people's ways of living their businesses to help them do bookkeeping and run reports when they need.
There's so many small businesses that need the help of somebody like you, because a lot of the like sole traders, there's still a personal tax return, but there's that whole other business aspect to it that can be really confusing.
Right. I mean, anything that you kind of think is an in and out, it may or may not be a business expense. And that's by like the tax guidelines. Sometimes they have to be stretch that expense has to be stretched over so long, or sometimes those expenses aren't deductible, which is not too fun for any client to hear. But sometimes there's also additional things. Even if somebody takes a trip to Saratoga Springs, there might be additional expenses by taking the mileage and the travel expenses that you can compared to just what you had paid for by taking a trip there.
And so you found a great niche in dealing with those property owners that were like, because you'd been through that yourself. Are there any other little niches that you've kind of come across as you've been building your client base?
Yeah, so that the rental real estate is a big niche that I've kind of gotten into. And really the other is like startup businesses or small businesses. A lot of the bigger accounting firms won't take on those people as clients just because the preparation fees, the amount of work that they need is higher than what they really want to tolerate. So I'm more than willing to, I think that's kind of how it all started too, was going to meet people at their location, whether it was their business or their house, and trying to help them compile their bookkeeping to see what we could kind of organize and create the tax return with. So I think that, yeah, our level of service, what I can kind of deliver is great for people.
You're really providing a solution to a much needed service here.
Yeah. I think the being able to stretch all the way from, you know, collecting the documents to being able to file it and process the return all in what I do is different than the other people that have three or four levels of processing.
Have you thought ahead to like how you're going to scale once you get to the point where, because you physically can only do so much?
Yeah. So I've done over 160 returns for the prior year, looking to double that, which is big, but I think that's definitely possible. And then after that, looking to possibly onboard people that are kind of that I can show my system to and have them be part of the process. So it's interesting when you tell people you're going into business full time and you have all of the intents of going out and doing everything. I've had people offer to buy the business. I've had people send their resume in, and it's neat to kind of run through all of those options and see what's out there. So I was super pleased to have a resume or two come across my inbox. I thought that was interesting and something to look forward to in the future.
That's awesome. Like, the future is bright for you. So what sort of issues do you find that people have when they come to you?
People don't know what they don't know. So
true.
When you have all these receipts or all these issues with what is deductible and what isn't, it's just great to be able to say, hey, you can give me everything. You could give me an export of your bank transactions. Some people sign up for QuickBooks. They think that's the thing to do. And I can take that QuickBooks file, jump into their QuickBooks, and really just take all those transactions. And by knowing the area, by knowing the local area, I know which, that Stewart's is a gas station or what the shops are and what the restaurants are, so that can categorize those quicker than outside could. So I think that's kind of it's just alleviating the fear of, well, what do I do with all this information? But to be able to take over and kind of provide that tax return based on it used to be a shoebox, but now it's an electronic file folder, right? Or an email.
Electronic shoebox.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest issues people do have, is because they've got the information here and there and they're worried that they're not giving it to you in the best way, where you're happy to just take whatever they have and you will sort through it and organize it.
Yeah, I think it just relieves more stress. I have checklists on checklists for like business owners, for rental real estate owners, and then for the personal tax return on what type of documents are expected. So that kind of helps people get to, oh, I guess I should also include this property tax receipt. And when I get the information, it's great to just review it quick and see if they're missing anything from, especially from the prior year. Sometimes if they forget their mortgage interest statement, that's a big expense. So, and it's usually not paid off. So something to check up on and see what they have in their electronic shoebox there.
I see that you call yourself the rebate guru. So are you saying that you are able to find some areas that people are missing out on where they can get deductions?
Yeah, I think that's, I've had that on the website for a bit. And back when there was more rebates in the tax law, and now there's not as many, but now there's some tax strategies that really help people to be able to save from their business. And that's a lot of the discounts, the rebates are from owning the business, whether it's putting your kids on payroll or having certain areas where you can allocate to retirement or how health insurance is paid for that will allow the businesses to save some of that instead of paying to taxes that can kind of go to those areas that benefit themselves later.
That's great advice for people. Do you have any other kind of top tips for people that like could make it a little bit easier once they start working with you?
I think it's really just that onset conversation where people think they need to do all of the work to kind of give it to me. And I think that's a difference that I can provide is I can take all of that electronic shoebox, that bank statement transactions, and categorize that information, then reach out back out to the client to say, hey, is this type of transaction usually part of the business or is it a personal transaction? And that's the tough thing is separating the personal from the business. It's always best when there's just one business account, but in today's day and age, sometimes it's tough to switch bank accounts to transfer between banks. So it's just really when I get the blank slate, I can kind of go from there and see where we can categorize those expenses properly.
Are your fees based on like how much of that work you have to do ahead of time, or you know, what do you base your fees on?
Right. So if a client comes to me with like a give or take compiled profit loss statement, depending on the scale, that's the less scope for me. So it'll be a little bit cheaper for them if they have like already bookkeeping in place, which if they're paying for QuickBooks, that kind of makes sense. They're already organizing it and providing a good amount of that. I just kind of get to review it, make sure that the auto expenses and all the other expenses are allowable. But if they don't have it, then, you know, a little bit of extra in preparation fees, but not too much that I think it's too prohibitive. It just relieves more stress for the client.
You cover all that in your initial conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's it's always scary to send your financial information to somebody else. So I think that's usually one of the first questions is what's the cost going to be? So initially I can give a range and then that's kind of based on how well their documents are when I get them. But mm-hmm. I think at either price range, it's usually great for the client.
Yeah, because people might think that they're well organized, but then when you actually get the information, you're like, well, no, not actually.
Well, it goes both ways, yeah. I think, because people think they're awful at their organization and they actually do a great job. So sometimes it just helps to be able to have that initial conversation to see and confirm that, yeah, they're actually doing a pretty good job at organizing things.
And then after the first year, are you then able to give them some advice on how they might be able to better do it going forward?
Yeah, for a good chunk of my clients, I get to reach out in June, sometimes July, usually try to get out in June to see if they're on track for the next year. Somebody that had a higher bill than they expected as a new client, then I can reach out and say, hey, maybe increase your withholdings on your W-2, or maybe we should pay some estimated payments to the IRS or the state. State's always one that I feel like people forget about. Yeah, we're saving 25% or so for the IRS, but we also need that 5% for New York, or it's just going to be a surprise at the end of the year.
There's some slight differences between what you can claim between the state and the federal, right?
Right. Yeah. There's some differences in rental real estate. There's not too many in New York, at least. In other states there are, but yeah, it's everything has its own little hoop to jump through.
For rental real estate, would most of those go under like a corporation rather than say self-employment or?
So those are usually filed under a Schedule E. But a lot of people, and they take advice from lawyers appropriately, they'll form it as an LLC. And that can still be reported on your personal return if it's set up properly, which it usually is. It's just if there's multiple owners, then it has its own tax return form.
Yeah.
And I think that can be surprising to some people. If they join into a business, they think, oh, I'll just report my portion of it. With the IRS, you have to report the whole thing and not just your chunk of it.
And it's important for them to talk to you when they're getting into this sort of business, isn't it? So that they know how to start setting it up and tracking all the financials, right?
Yeah. It's great to have the conversation with people before they start the business. It's not always how they set up the business, how they're thinking, oh, I got to do the taxes. Usually they just want to focus on the business, but to be able to set something up, to communicate with a lawyer to make sure it's set up the way they're intending, and then to kind of get their scheme of how they want to turn this business. If they want to build it and sell it within 5 years, or if they want to build it and run it for life. And those projections can be different.
Are there any kind of businesses or sizes of businesses that you just don't want to deal with or aren't a good fit? That's a better way to put it.
I think the bigger businesses, like if they get above 10 million in sales, might be something to kind of see if I could help with, like bookkeeping or preparation. It really does depend on the type of business. If it's like lots of widgets or products for sale, I don't typically handle sales tax. There's a lot of companies that are good at that specific type of thing. And the same with payroll. I love to subcontract out payroll because there's firms that are dedicated to that type of work. Yeah. And I focus more in the income tax world.
And you can focus on what you do best.
Yeah. I mean, knowing the income tax credits versus the payroll credits, it's a different world because it's just a different section of the accounting.
Yeah. So you partner with some other providers that you can then refer your clients to?
Yes, I have a few lawyers that I connect with and a few payroll companies that I work with and enjoy their service and the reports they send to me for my clients. I think that's pretty helpful to be able to like communicate with them. Same with financial advisors, knowing a good financial advisor to be able to connect people with so that I can chat with them to see, hey, how much do you think you're moving into a tax deductible account in the future? Or how much are you going to be pulling out of the tax deductible account? I think that's great to be able to reference those people.
Yeah, that's what I found the most confusing about trying to do my own returns was the investment income. What needed to be reported, what didn't. And that was when I said, okay, this is more than I can handle myself.
You receive like the paycheck for it and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm getting that money. It might just be in a managed account and you might have some tax bill coming from those transactions. And you just might not know about it until the end of the year.
Yeah. So what other kind of issues do you think people come across that are like, oh, I should hire somebody to help me with that?
A lot of people, I think actually just had somebody recently reach out because they're trying to buy a home. And to buy a home, you have to go through the mortgage process. And I think it's always one of those, we don't want to show so much income on the tax return, but we also want to be able to buy a home in the future and get a mortgage.
Yes.
So it's difficult to be able to, like, you have to show a good substantiation of income throughout the years, 2 or 3 years, to show that you can be able to pay a mortgage back. So I think that's kind of a neat area where somebody might have made a good amount of money in 2025, but they haven't filed the return yet. So I've been able to provide like a compilation for their lender so that their lender could say, oh, this is how much the business has made so far. And we can kind of use this information with previous returns before the return is filed in January, February, to be able to approve them for a mortgage.
That's important because for a lot of self-employed people, it's hard to show what your income is because it varies or because you don't have those payroll stubs to show to people.
Right.
Any other kind of issues that you've been able to help people with?
I think that's a good chunk of it. I think I've helped with a bunch of random areas, but yeah, those are the bigger ones.
So I assume that you want people to get in touch with you as soon as possible to not wait until like March.
Right. Yeah. It's quite tricky to get back to people as quickly as I want to in March. I mean, I try to turn returns around within a week of having all the information. And it gets a little tricky around March because all the business returns, the partnership returns are due March 15th. So those need to be completed. And if they're put on extension, they still need to be done.
So those, I didn't know that. So those have a deadline earlier than the April 15th deadline. That's why people need to talk to you now.
Yeah. So those partnership returns due March 15th, and then that information flows to the personal return, which of course is due April 15th. So even if you put a partnership on extension, to still get the personal return done, that partnership has got to be wrapped up as soon as possible. So those are usually the first thing to work on. They can't always be done in January, February, but yeah, as quick as possible with those. And yeah, if people reach out, the earlier people reach out, sometimes I can kind of do like the bookkeeping up front. It can be done through December in January, and then we're just waiting on some bank statements and other things to wrap up the return.
Yeah. And you mentioned a little bit about withholding. And I think that's another area where businesses kind of fall short is doing those quarterly payments. Because I think people don't realize how important it is to do that because it's your obligation. You could have penalties.
Yeah. Definitely want to avoid the interest and penalties. And with that, don't always queue people up for estimates right away. But by telling people how much they'll have due at the end of the year, we can calculate out how much the IRS expects them to pay.
Yeah.
It's usually the amount that they paid last year in taxes, which does include the self-employment tax. If they're over an income threshold, then they do have to pay more. But that would be the max amount that they would need to pay for estimates. But if they double their income, which I've seen this happen, they'll have a large tax bill, but it's not due until April 15th, right? So they can see the amount they didn't pay, they can just put into a high interest savings account. If they're aggressive, they could just invest it in the stock market, but they'll be able to earn a little bit of interest or a little bit more money by just setting that money aside and waiting for the tax bill in April. The clients that earn that, that have doubled their business, that's a nice benefit of just being able to wait till the end to pay their taxes, and they get to sit on that money and interest rates are doing all right now. So it's nice to be able to collect a little bit before paying.
So another advantage for someone to speak with you as soon as possible so they can get that good advice going in.
Absolutely.
So we talked a little bit about the future of AVB taxes. Is there any other sort of plans or wishes that you have for the business?
I mean, just by taking it full time, I have more time to handle those. I'm kind of referring to it as 12-month clients and businesses that really want to look at their financial reports. So they might need bookkeeping and financial reports quarterly or monthly if they really want to look at those. So helping clients that way, I think will kind of it'll benefit everyone in the future. And I think that'll be great. I think it'll make the preparing their tax return easier as well, because they'll kind of have the sense of a quarterly projection of where they're going to end up and what may or may not be due.
Yeah, no surprises at the last minute. Nobody likes that. You worked for firms before and you were doing some of this in your own time. How has the switch been to being full-time self-employed? Like as an accountant, at least you have a lot of knowledge that is important that most business owners don't have. But were there other areas where you thought like, oh, wow, like this is a change?
Yeah, I think it's neat to see that to have the difference, because doing taxes is only as creative as it can be. I would say it's probably more on the boring side for most people to find the deductions. That's kind of a little bit creative, but I think it's nice to be able to jump into like, oh, now I have to market and advertise and find other abilities to network with people. So that gives a little bit of a creative outlet. And I think that's kind of neat. Something that as a staff preparer, staff accountant or junior accountant, you don't really get to do that. I think the only workload that you have at a tax firm is remembering and reconciling which clients you worked on and logging every 10 minutes. So it's kind of neat to have a creative outlet of marketing and running the business and fielding all of those. Hey, we'll buy your business, or hey, I'd love to come work with you. And fielding those calls is kind of neat.
How do you find that now with I've talked to different professional firms where they're trying to get away from billable hours and providing more like consulting and less specifically compliance work, where, and like, what's your philosophy on that?
So I guess how I've been operating for the last 10 or so years has been, I hate billing because I don't want to revisit things multiple times. So I've really only done billing once or twice a year, and that's worked well. But now by doubling clients, I think there's going to be an additional component of how to kind of organize that. And those billable hours, that's great to be able to allow you to quantify how profitable a client is. But on the other side, it's the client experience that matters. If you need to spend an extra hour with a client to kind of help them get through their QuickBooks or just help them understand what this shoebox of information is, it's more than worth it. It's not just going to help the tax preparation. It's just going to help the client understand what is going on in this world of the unknown for them.
Yeah, that's a great outlook, to be focused on the client experience and the value that you're bringing them.
Yeah. It's great to, and not have to log those hours, to not have to track, 6 minutes was spent on this or 10 minutes was spent on a phone call. It's great to be able to give the clients the time that they need.
Because you don't want people to hesitate to call you because like, oh, I got to pay for that call.
I've had a bunch of calls and emails on, should we buy or lease a car? And kind of going through those options of based on how much the business uses the vehicle. And it's great to be able to talk to people about that.
You've been doing this for a number of years, and even when you were in the firm, sometimes you have to have difficult conversations with a client because they didn't put aside enough money to pay their liabilities, or they're doing something that's not good, or maybe even illegal. How do you find that?
Right. Yeah. So fortunately, I haven't had the illegal conversations. That's
good. Good.
Yeah. So when something turns out like kind of the way that they obviously didn't expect, and it's tough because I've had rental properties that they're trying to go through the process of making it a not taxable transfer to themselves and using those section exchanges to be able to do that. But when they change plans, their life kind of change plans, and then they ended up with a really large tax bill, something that you don't want to have to pay. They know that they have to pay the taxes. It's one of those things that you don't feel like you're getting anything out of. So you're paying it and you're like, well, where's the couch or the TV that I just paid for? But no, it's just the taxes that you have to pay from it. And that's tough. If we could predict the future 5-10 years from now and see how everything would equate out, or if we knew how long we'd live, then yeah, we'd have a perfect plan in place. But it is tough when things just don't go the way that they're kind of set up for.
You said you started out doing tax returns for friends and family, and now you've built a client base. How have you gone about doing that, getting other people that you don't know personally to work with you?
Right. So when I got back to the Capital Region, it really was word of mouth, and just started with a dozen or so people. And I was like, Well, this is great. And I could kind of see that people were getting the value out of it, just being able to meet people, get through their return in that meeting and get them all straightened away with their return and queue them up for a refund if they were going to get one within an hour, which was great. So then I had joined a young professional association in the capital region. And by networking through that group, was able to pick up a bunch of additional clients that I really didn't expect. And been a great, great start of the whole process. And really, it just kind of grew from that word of mouth. I've had people that work in all different sectors of the capital region, whether it was Regeneron or Global Foundries or all of those types of big businesses, and seeing the differences of each of those types of returns. And it just kind of kept going along. I think a couple of my family members just kept sending me some client information, and they said, "Hey, can you help this person out?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll take them on."
It's hard to find somebody that'll take on the smaller businesses, especially sole traders.
Right. It's surprising that it's just kind of it feels almost like a forgotten area, but I feel like it deserves the same amount of attention that any big business gets. It's their returns just as important. So it's nice to be able to help out everyone.
Yeah. And especially if there's a potential to grow, you know, that's what I think you need to look at, those, the potential of it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of businesses out there that, I mean, they're doing a great job. Their business is great, and it's all they want to do. All they need to do is focus on the business, the financial aspect of helping them make sure they're in compliance. They're doing the right thing with taxes. And then if they need help scaling to see what types of ways they can build their business financially, it is great too. I just really love talking about taxes. I could really talk forever about them just because of I think they're fascinating. It's fun for me. And because it's not so fun for other people, I think that's just a perfect pairing. It's just it's a great match to be able to help somebody where they really don't want to deal with it. I think it's in this area, the Glens Falls, Northern Capital Region area, is more small businesses than it is the big businesses. And I think that's great. It's just nice to have that, like, family-owned portion of the area of the region.
Yeah, there's a lot of family businesses, and I think a lot of people started up during COVID, so they either needed to start up on their own because their own businesses either let them go or closed down, or they just felt, I want a different lifestyle. And when you have your own business, you have control over that, though you also have a lot of other obligations to deal with. So the growth of these small businesses is definitely a bonus for you.
Yeah, it's great. I hope to be able to reach out to more of them. I think this Glens Falls and the Queensbury area, really just, you can see all the businesses kind of starting up. And like you said, since COVID, it's been great to see.
The revitalization of downtown Glens Falls is bringing a lot of new businesses to set up downtown. So that is going to be amazing for Glens Falls. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, I appreciate this time. This has been great. Get to talk more about taxes.
Thank you for joining me in this episode of Building Success Stories. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? I've got you covered. Visit my website, AnnDonnellySuccessStories.com, to access additional resources and sign up for my newsletter. And to work with me directly, visit AnnDonnelly.com to learn more about my services as a fractional COO and business consultant. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform and never miss an episode. Until next time, keep building your success story.